In the small prairie town I grew up, most of the kids I knew had ordinary names spelled in ordinary ways. Robert, Lisa, Stephen. But one family was somehow different. They gave their children unusual names. The oldest name was named Fortune, the middle child was named Land, and the youngest was named Lease, as in I'm going to lease a car. Now, I don't know the reason for their names. I was never bold enough to ask, but I'm sure there's a story behind each one of them. Fortune, Land, Lease. Well, have you ever encountered an unusual name? Probably. They seem to be much more abundant than when I grew up. But have you ever met a child named Laughter? You'd be certain that there was a good story behind that. Last week, our Bible passage took us to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, we were told how God creates man and plants him in God's garden. It's an idyllic beginning, but one that goes downhill rather quickly. If you know the story, you'll certainly agree. Well, today we've fast-forwarded over all the chaos and rebellion and grace that followed this ancient beginning, and we jump into the biblical narrative about Abraham, midway into his story in Genesis chapter 18. Now, earlier in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham to leave his country and his people and go to a land that God would show him. Abraham is promised fame. He'll be given a great name. Abraham is promised children. He will be a nation. Abraham is told that he will be blessed and that others will be blessed through him. This call and these blessings are the beginning of God's answer to all those sad intervening stories that we skipped over in Genesis, stories that showcase the evil of human hearts, the strife of nations, and the groaning brokenness of all creation. Abraham's call is the beginning of the mission of God and the mission of God's people. Now, I mentioned that Abraham's story begins in Genesis chapter 12. Well, today we catch up to Abraham many years later. In Genesis chapter 18, we meet a much older Abraham, blessed with much property and possessions, but still lacking that promised descendant, the child that he and Sarah were supposed to have. Today we see Abraham sitting outside of his tent. We're not told what he's doing. Perhaps he's contemplating his legacy, wondering what will happen after him. Perhaps he is thinking about God and those long-awaited promises. And perhaps he's just trying to find a little peace and quiet by himself. But as he's sitting there, all of a sudden, three men appear. And according to the custom of the day, Abraham invites them into his home to join him for a meal. While he promises small refreshments, he immediately starts to work on a feast. Abraham runs back and forth, busying himself, making all sorts of arrangements. And soon a fine meal is being served. The first part of the story focuses on what Abraham does, his hospitality to these guests. But at this point, the action passes on to the visitors. They ask about his wife. Then one of them makes a bold prediction. She will soon be pregnant. Now when Sarah hears this, and Sarah is outside of the tent, sort of listening in on the action, when Sarah hears this, she can't contain herself. She laughs. Now, in my mind, this is a cynical laugh. It's a, ha, yeah, right. She knows what Abraham's guest is thinking. He is thinking that this rich old man, Abraham, has a young, fertile wife. It's an easy prediction to make, right? Well, ha, Yeah, right. If he only knew, if he only knew that Sarah was the love of Abraham's youth, and that she was now sporting wrinkles and gray hair long past menopause. Huh, yeah, right, this is not going to happen. But when this laughter is overheard, she couldn't contain herself. One of the guests, whom the text now reveals to be the Lord, asks Abraham why Sarah was laughing. Perceiving her age, perceiving that she is long past childbearing, the Lord questions, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And then boldly restates that promise. "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is something we ask ourselves when we reflect on old dreams and think about God's promises. We live in a world that is marked by hard truths and limited possibilities. We live in that world, and then we read from a Bible that tells us stories about a God who isn't bound by such things. As the story fast forwards, we find Sarah nursing a newborn, a woman who should probably be in the geriatric ward, has just had her first baby. The name of that child? Isaac. Laughter. Laughter. Sarah warmly chuckles to herself as she imagines the gasps of amazement when she corrects those in the marketplace admiring this newborn. "No, this isn't my grandson. This is my son." Isaac, laughter. "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." Now, those familiar with the story of Abraham will recognize that today's account holds together some contradictions about this man. I mean, in the broader story, Abraham is remembered as this pillar of faith, right? But when it came to having a child, both he and Sarah doubted. There might have been a time when they were more hopeful. They may have even set aside a room in their house and prepared it. But after waiting for years, they had become accustomed to their barrenness. They had become resigned to a closed future. The gospel promise of today's story does not meet them in receptive hopefulness, but in resistant hopelessness. Of course, the good news of this story is that God's way will not be thwarted. God's way cannot be thwarted, even when it runs against our human expectation and experience, our lack of faith, our persistent doubt. Abraham and Sarah will have that promised child. They will have those promised descendants. They will call themselves blessed, and they will be a blessing to others. God blessed Abraham and Sarah. Of course, God's blessings aren't just for this couple. In Christ, we share in Abraham's blessings, and in Christ, we share in his call to bless others. Now, I think most of us can recognize that we have been blessed. I mean, we could easily probably come up with a list of 10 things that we are grateful for, that we give glory to God for. Most of us can recognize that we've been blessed. This isn't that difficult. But some of us, for some of us, the stumbling stone is whether we can be a blessing. I mean, like Abraham and Sarah, many of us are past our active years. Our biggest goal is to not be a burden, let alone trying to assist or help or bless others. And if that can be said about us individually, that can certainly be said about us as a church community. Most of us could easily stand up and note the many blessings we've received among this people and in this place. But to think that we might bless others outside of the congregation, well, that's maybe something a bit harder for us to grasp. Some might even laugh cynically if I started repeating those words of that pastor I spoke of last week, the one who said about his own congregation, "We want to be so vital to the community around us that if we ever closed our doors, the entire neighborhood would be up in arms." What if I started saying that around in the church community? Someone's bound to laugh. Ha! Yeah, right. How is this congregation at this stage in its life ever going to make a difference in the big changing world outside of our doors? Most of us are old, and pretty much all of us are tired. The energy of our youth has been long spent. But wait a second and ask yourself what I think is the most important verse, that question that came out of today's story. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, keep in mind, we already agreed, the Lord hasn't promised to fulfill all our dreams and grant all our wishes. God's will may never see to having all these pews filled to overflowing. God may never give you back your lost hearing. But God has promised to bless us, and God has promised to make us a blessing. Even if you still can't see it. Well, I think this story reminds us that one day God is going to make us laugh. God is going to make us laugh. Well, may we laugh even before we see it. And to God be the glory. Amen.